Hey guys, I am on the phone with Scott McKay right now, and Scott is a very old friend. I've probably known him for about 5 or 6 years now, and he and I share a lot of similar beliefs on attraction, and so I wanted to get him on the phone because Scott, from what I know, you know, and what I can see, his specialty is online. You know, I know that he has a lot of other specialties as well, but compared to a lot of other people, the materials I've seen from him regarding how to meet and attract women online in terms of online dating and Twitter and Facebook have been amazing. So I wanted to get him on the phone with me so he can give you some really great information that you can start using instantly to attract and meet women online. So Scott, thank you very much for talking with me.
Well, Marnie, it's my pleasure as always. And I just wanted to start off by saying I just heard on the radio that chemistry.com or eHarmony or one of those sites is having a free communication weekend. So I just wanted to tell everybody to skip it. Absolutely have nothing to do with it. Go meet your own women. Choose your own women on Match.com or Plenty of Fish or a site like that. Don't let some computer try to fix you up.
I like that. Okay, good message. All right, so we already know where this is going. So this is great. So you know, from you know, you have a huge Twitter following. So you are somebody that is wonderful with social media for your business. And I want to know how that can be, that skill is transferred over into dating.
Well, if you want to talk about social media, not every social media platform is created equal when it comes to being valuable for what's commonly known as meeting women online. Okay. Some people want to make Facebook an online dating site, for example, which is a bad idea because Mark Zuckerberg and his team, from the very minute they started Facebook, said, look, this is not a place where you meet people you don't know already. This is for people you already know. Now, does that preclude Facebook from being useful when it comes to interacting with women? No, absolutely not. But it's absolutely brilliant for gauging how well you're interacting or how effectively you're attracting women who are already in your social circle. And it's also a great way to meet friends of friends and get introductions. But, you know, you can tell from going to any hot woman's Facebook page who's like a model or some other chick who's out there and looking at the comments that these losers leave about how needy they are and how beautiful she is. Oh my gosh. Can you just like next time wear something even slinkier than that? It is not the place to go send unsolicited missives to women you don't know. It comes off exactly like spam and it doesn't work. Period.
Absolutely. Period. Well, I even had an example on my website the other day. Some guy wrote to me, your picture is really cute. And then 4 hours later, like, gave me some other type of compliment. And honestly, I felt dirty reading those messages in my inbox on Facebook. Because I'm like, who the hell is this person? I have, you know, and why are you saying these things to me? And why are you staring at my pictures? Like, it made me feel disgusting. But if he were to say, you know what, I saw your name popped up on this person's page, checked out your stuff, you're really interesting, and then maybe ask me a question, I would totally engage with that person. And I'm married, so it wouldn't go anywhere else. But that, you know, that would get me to respond to him rather than like creepster spammy message on in my Facebook inbox.
Or better yet, have the friend of friend create the introduction. Now there's something perfectly natural. And, you know, you can return the favor for that person later. That's how you use Facebook. Now, that's the design of Facebook. That's the intent of Facebook. Now, on a site like Twitter, for example, Twitter, I've actually written a free book that anybody can get on how to meet high-quality women on Twitter. This isn't a sales pitch. All you do is go to www.twiduction.com and get you some. Okay. My gift to you. Twitter is good for two reasons. First of all, it's no holds barred. You can go talk to anybody on Twitter. You can even figure out where someone is in the search feature based on where they are geographically compared to you. So you only talk to women who are nearby. You can do that on Twitter. And the probably best use of Twitter that I can think of and this is going to come as a little bit of a surprise, is not only to start conversations with women who are local to you, but figuring out how to keep your first messages to women brief. You got to be under 140 characters. And one of the biggest, hairiest mistakes that I see guys making online dating is they start giving women they don't even know. They don't even know she's actually what she even looks like. They don't even know she exists.
Right.
They write her their entire life story. It's creepy.
Very creepy, and one of the biggest turnoffs. I will tell you that as a woman, huge turnoff.
Right. My first email to my wife, who is gorgeous and who is getting 200 emails a day from guys, was two sentences.
Perfect.
And, you know, I signed it with my first name. Now, there's a freebie right there, okay?
Yeah, no, that's a great freebie. Can you tell me what you wrote to her?
Yes. Well, she, Emily had all these pictures of herself doing amazing things and looking amazingly cute and, you know, petting a big fluffy dog and rock climbing and ice skating and having fun. And she had like two paragraphs total for her narrative. Now, Emily's dyslexic, so she doesn't like to write. Okay. I simply said, for someone who looks like she has so much fun in life, you sure don't have much to say.
Really?
That's all I wrote. And man, she showed me, she wrote back about six paragraphs back to me. But see, there was no fear of loss. All I did was challenge her on that.
Right. No, I like that. Okay, these are great little tidbits. Okay, so that's what I tell guys as well. Like, keep it short because it's totally creepy when you invest so much in a person through your written words who you don't even know. So let's like focus on Facebook because I think that Facebook is really interesting to me. Can you walk me through like how a guy can use Facebook to meet women? Like, what is the first step there?
Well, just like I said, I don't think you should use Facebook to go meet women. I think if you want to meet women.
Women in your social circle or women in your friend's social circles. Like if you want to capitalize on what Facebook is actually put out there for.
Okay.
Like you were saying things like ask your friends for introductions, things like
that. Right. Okay. Well, let's just throw out a whole hodgepodge of Facebook stuff. Okay.
Okay.
We'll just see what spaghetti sticks to the wall. First of all, if a woman is in your social circle already and you have her on Facebook, watch how she interacts with you. Watch if she's liking your posts. Watch if she comments on your posts, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're seeing a woman, if you're dating already, watch to see when a woman likes all of your posts except the posts that involve you talking about another woman
right.
or something like that. That's the woman who's already interested in you. She likes everything but what you're doing with other women.
Right.
That is how women think. So that's one way to gauge that women in your social circle actually are interested in you. Anytime a woman sends you a friend invitation first, adds you to Facebook first, she's open to you interacting with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you can do is you can like a post. You can make something that's a sort of an innocuous comment to something that's on her wall and look for her to respond to you.
Okay. You see, so can you give me an example of that?
Oh, she puts a picture of herself partying on the weekends and you make some very non-sexual but perhaps a little sly or teasing remark there.
Okay.
I mean, it could be anything, right?
Right.
See how she responds to you. See if she private messages you in response.
Okay.
See if she shows a little excitement about it. Now, that's her saying, I like interacting with you. Now, when you see that reciprocation, the next thing you can do is add a little bit of flirt to it the next time. Not the first time, but the next time, when you see that she likes interacting with you, she may even be a little bit of a teaser or being a little frisky with you. That's when you know you can start that teasing banter, that flirtation. Now, at this juncture, it's important for me to define define flirting as I see it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Flirting is not necessarily overtly sexual talk. It's any conversation that would feel really awkward if not between a heterosexual man and a woman.
Right. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, stuff you don't say to other guys. You only say it to women.
Right.
Right? So when that flirtation starts happening, that's when you send her a private message saying, hey, you know what? Enough of this typing. It's time you and I had a real conversation on the phone. You don't ask her, you tell her.
I like that. I definitely like that. Being direct, leading towards a telephone call. I love that.
Right. And then you can give her your phone number because you can say to her, well, I realize that, you know, here's my phone number and you're welcome to call me. Although I realize that a lot of times women are still old fashioned and they prefer the gentleman to call first. So in order to do that, I will need your phone number. I'm free tomorrow at 7 o'clock. There's no asking. There's suggesting.
You're not
begging. You're leading, just like you just eloquently stated. Yeah. That's an excellent way to use Facebook. Again, if you know there's someone in your town, in your college, in your tweet up group, because you're talking to each other on Twitter, and you want to be Facebook friends with them and start a conversation, you really don't have to go very far before you figure out that someone knows this person and that's someone you're friends with.
Okay.
If they're a friend of a friend, what you do is you ask that person to create that introduction.
Okay. So how do you ask that friend? Do you say like, dude, do you mind introducing me to Sarah?
Right. Bluntly.
Okay.
You know, I mean, obviously this has to be someone you're on at least a first name basis with.
Okay.
Otherwise that'll come off creepy too, or else that you're not giving them any attention. Obviously if it's a woman who likes you and is romantically attracted to you, it's probably kind of crass to say to her, hey, could you introduce me to your hot friend? You know?
Yeah, no, exactly.
That's not good. But you know, if you're giving everybody the social graces that they deserve and you have some social skill, then you can do this.
Okay.
Now, another thing you can do with Facebook, and here's a freebie also, if you go like my Facebook page, okay, it's facebook.com/ScottandEmily, ScottandEmily. I will give you a report on how to reconnect with old flames on Facebook. I'll give you the step-by-step, blow-by-blow, okay? That is a huge fun thing about Facebook, is actually getting in touch with people who were long gone from your social circle.
Right.
Now, there are some caveats there. You need to make sure you want to get in touch with this person again, and you need to make an educated decision on how to go about doing it. But if you decide you do want to do it, I give you all the steps. The first thing is, you know, the longer it's been since you've known this person, a lot of water has gone under the bridge. Make sure that person is, you know, don't expect that person to be exactly the same person as when you met them. She may look different. She may have different thought processes. She may be married. She may not even live close to you anymore. You've got to proceed accordingly based on all of those different scenarios.
Okay.
If she's married and lives in your town, frankly, I wouldn't even go there.
See, I'm the same way, because I get guys writing into me all the time and they tell me about girls that they're interacting with offline, and the, you know, girl announces that she has a boyfriend or fiance or whatever it is. And for some reason, they still want to know how to attract her and turn her on. And I usually say, like, what are you wasting your time for? She's in a relationship. And if she's flirting with you while in a relationship, that's a huge indicator about the kind of girl that she is and what she might do to you later on down the road.
Oh,
Why
yeah,
do you want to get involved in that?
Right.
Exactly. So it's like, those people are out. Like, yes, you have married friends who you can say, okay, great. Now introduce me to your other single friends that are not you, but look like you and have a personality like you, you know?
Right.
So yeah, no need to start going after people who are in relationships. It's a waste of time.
Right. And it's crass to do that with someone you haven't talked to in a long time, you know, and just say, hey, do you have any single friends? I mean, that's not the way to do it. Now, if there's a buffer zone geographically, like, you know, I reconnected with someone I went to college with who's female and we dated, and she's happily married somewhere in Florida, and I'm happily married somewhere in Texas. So we added each other, and I joked a little bit about the past, and that was that. Nothing's going to happen there. There's not going to be any real meetings for coffee or anything like that. But if she lived in my zip code, I would not even tempt that. I mean, I would trust myself, but I just wouldn't want to be tempted, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also have been married for 6 years. You know that.
Yeah.
Emily and I both still get friend requests from people we dated before we met each other. And almost invariably, I'll look at this friend request out of the blue, and she's just broken up with someone or just gotten divorced.
Right.
Because, you know, 6 years, right?
Right.
Just happened a couple days ago. This woman I used to date has been married and just got divorced since, and she's looking to reconnect with me. Bad idea.
Right.
I'm not, you know, I respect Emily too much to even go there.
That's very nice of you. You're a good man.
Well, that's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. But see, if you're single and she's single, the next thing you got to know, figure out is, look, am I setting myself up for some long distance relationship if I live in Wisconsin and she lives like in Honolulu? Well, it wouldn't be such a bad idea to go to Honolulu. But from a relationship perspective, you know, this isn't the Pro Bowl. This is you trying to connect with somebody.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to look at all those different scenarios and you have to make an educated decision. Hey, is this someone I want to reconnect with? And it's not completely off the wall and unheard of for someone to have fantasized about someone they didn't ever get around to asking out, and they see them on Facebook 8-10 years later and the opportunity's there and they realize all of a sudden, you know, I really just didn't like her that much. I'm really not into this. Okay. Now that you have that chance, it's in front of you, you can make that educated decision. Do I want to do this or not?
Interesting.
Yeah. Facebook is a magical, magical thing, but you got to remember it's for people who are in your social circle already. Here's something I think will be entertaining for your listeners to find out.
Okay.
You've probably heard that it's a bad idea on an online dating site like a Plenty of Fish or a Match.com for guys to parade around with their shirts off, even if they're cut and have six packs. It's just women are like, whatever, you're trying too hard. If you have pictures of you with a bunch of other women hanging all over you, it's not going to do well for you on an online dating site because women are saying, how insensitive can this guy be?
Right.
I want to see him with a bunch of other women when he's on a site trying to meet women. Right?
Right. No, I say the same thing. Like, don't have like 18 million pictures of you with other girls sitting on your lap.
Or the cutout picture.
Yeah, exactly. It's not enticing to other women. It just shows that you're a player or that you're kind of needy. It's like women want to see what your life looks like,
It shows that you don't know what you're doing. It shows that you're an ineffective leader. It shows you're an ineffective provider and that you don't know how to make a woman feel protected because you don't even get the basics of the simple fact that if you're on a dating site looking to meet a woman, she doesn't want to see you with other women. It makes you look like you have no plan. Now, on Facebook, since the vibe is we're all friends here, you can parade around with your shirt all you want. You can be on a boat with six other women, all of you with your shirts off, you know, them in bikini tops. And that will give you social proof with those same women.
Because that's really interesting.
That's
I didn't even think about that.
Right, exactly. You can put pictures that show off your body. You can put pictures that show off you and your female friends, as long as you're not dating anyone. And that will make the women who are on that site – Facebook, right? Say, here's a guy who's popular with women. I should like him too. It's the whole people buy on the approval of others. Because see, that is not a site with a specific purpose of I'm looking for a date. It's just all things.
It's to share your life. That's really interesting. And that looks like a full life. But that's so interesting. I didn't even think about that because you're right. On Facebook, you're showing your life. On online dating, you're trying to show your life as being ready to date and possibly being in a relationship. That's interesting.
Well, here's how the progression goes, right? And this isn't even in my program. I'm just thinking of this on the fly. You're on, say, Match.com, Plenty of Fish. You start a relationship, or start a phone conversation or email back and forth with a woman, okay?
Yeah.
And you were a good guy and you didn't put the – you left out the pictures of you with other women. You left out the pictures with your shirt off. And then you send her to your Facebook page. You trade the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Then you can get away with having a picture with your shirt off and show her your nice upper body.
Absolutely.
And it'll work for you. I would probably still caution on the side of not having so many pictures of you with women online because then you'll, you know, look like a player if you're trying to meet women on a Match.com.
Right. No, I agree because then it's like two different psychological perspectives.
Right.
So it can be challenging.
But because of the difference in vibe, you can get away with it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so can I ask one thing? So let's say that you do have an introduction between you and a girl through a friend and your friend says, you know what, you should talk to my friend Scott. He's awesome. Blah, blah. You guys should talk. What would be the best intro Facebook message that a guy could write? Does he write on her wall? Does he write, you know, a private message? Does he ask right away to go out and meet? Like, what's the best way to make to write that first message to that girl after the introduction?
Well, if he's making the friend introduction, I would wait for her to accept it and write me first. Okay. If that doesn't happen after a couple days, I would just say, you know, let's say her name is Sarah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, how's it going, Sarah? Any friend of George's is a friend of mine. Good to know you. Nothing needy, nothing clingy. Just drop it on the table.
Okay.
And see what you get back. Because she's going to go look at your profile.
Absolutely.
And then she will tell you what she thinks of you in some subtle way.
Okay.
She may if she doesn't write you back, then she doesn't think anything of you.
Gotcha. Okay. So then after that, do you try again if she doesn't write back?
Oh, yeah. I would try again exactly one more time.
Okay.
But let me finish. If she writes you back on, wow, it's like you've done a whole lot of traveling, or wow, that's a great picture of you and your dog. What's the dog's name? Then you're off and rolling. It's on.
Okay.
Then you write back and forth a couple times and go, hey, you know, and then you might comment on her posts. Let her know that you're a normal, decent guy. I wouldn't go directly for asking her out right away. Let that Facebook relationship happen so that you have some reasonable way of having figured out she was really cool and there's something deeper there other than how cute she is. Because women want to be appreciated for more than their looks, and the faster you go for the date when you haven't even read her posts or figured out anything about what she's like, the more it's going to look like you're in it just for the looks. However, if you start interacting with her, writing on her wall and she on yours, and it looks like you're getting along, then, you know, here's the deal. I don't believe in pushing anything. I believe in abundance. I don't believe in this scarcity mentality.
Yeah.
If you don't like her, don't be disappointed. If she doesn't like you, that's her prerogative. If you're interacting with a couple dozen different beautiful women, you don't have time in the day for all of them anyway.
Right.
So why don't you just let it relax, stop fearing loss, enjoy igniting femininity, enjoy the attention you get back from them, and see who you actually like.
Exactly. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because there's this one guy that I'm working with now who is doing online dating, and he had sent over this girl's profile and their email interactions, and her last email to him said something like, just wanted to write you a note and let you know I'm going to be offline for a few days. I'm moving this weekend. Things are a little bit crazy right now, but we'll definitely get back in touch when things are a little bit more settled, which I kind of think that's a nice message, even if it's saying like, you know what, like you're not a top priority, but I do want to let you know that I'm not going cold because I don't like you. I'm going cold because I'm moving and things are hectic, blah, blah, blah. I actually thought that it was a nice email for her to send, considering he hasn't really invested in her that much yet. They just had two email exchanges. He doesn't even know her. He's never met her in person.
That's lukewarm.
Yeah, exactly. But he got so insulted and so upset and pissed off and not swooned, but like sat in this misery that he had been rejected for a few days after receiving that email. And I was like, dude, you got to start reaching out to other people. Like, you don't even know this girl yet. She doesn't owe you anything yet. The fact that she wrote to you and said, I'm going to be busy because I'm moving, that's actually really nice to do to a complete stranger. So I like that what you had just said as well. It's like you really have to think about whether or not you like the person that you're interacting with. And you don't want to give them everything because they suddenly, you know, wrote a message back to you. It's not like you're completely and totally invested in that person only. You want to be invested in your life so that there's other things in your life that you're invested in, including that interaction on Facebook.
Well, absolutely. And of course, the more irons in the fire you have, the less each one of them is required to turn the heat on in your house. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I like how you said that. You have good phrases. I love it. Well, no, that's perfect.
Let's not gloss over something here, because here's something I think guys completely forget. The vast majority, and I'm choosing my words very carefully, the vast majority of dating advice out there that's good, well, that's bad too, I guess, doesn't matter. The vast majority of dating advice out there is not gender specific.
Right.
If you are a man who is in control of your dating life and you are the one who has options, your life will be very similar to that of a beautiful woman who's got guys hitting on her all the time.
Absolutely.
If you are, and you know, hey, look, Emily and I have the incredible luxury of hearing from both men and women. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it works. Women who don't take care of themselves physically, who hate men, who are complainers, who are frumpy, men have all the decisions. Man, they can just go and ask any woman out they right. want. And I can't get any of them to ask me out. They're poor them. They have no power.
Right.
All the guys. Meanwhile, guys like, oh, these beautiful bitches, they can sleep with any guy they want. They can just snap their fingers and get laid. And, you know, that leaves all of us there to drool. They have mm-hmm. all the power. Women have all the power. Well,
mm-hmm.
the irony of that is we never consider the lot of the other people, the motos, members of the opposite sex, as it were, who we're not attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
So those of us who have not learned how to deserve what we want yet, who remain largely unattractive to the members of the opposite sex, only focus on how we perceive those who we want, those we find attractive.
Exactly.
Okay? A guy who likes skinny blonde women doesn't care about fat, ugly, you know, redheaded women and what right. their dating life is like. He doesn't even see it. But if he took the rose-colored glasses off, he'd realize her dating life is just like his.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wants some great guy. She wants, you know, George Clooney to come sweep her off her feet, but it's not going to happen because she doesn't deserve it.
Exactly.
The masculine man who's got a lot going for him, who has the decision-making power among women, feels a lot like a beautiful woman who's got a lot going for her.
Absolutely.
It's all about how much control do I have over my dating life and how much or how weak am I? Okay?
I like how you put that.
Let's go back and visit your gal who's moving this weekend. Okay? If you have a complete fear of loss and you've got all the eggs in her basket, you're probably used to things not going well because it never ends well if you focus one at a time on any woman who can fog a mirror. Women do not want to be the main course for someone who's starving.
Exactly.
Women want to be chosen. Women want to be selected by someone with options. They don't want to be a stopgap for someone desperate. It doesn't feel good. You don't feel special that way. You feel like a walking life support system for a vagina, if you're a woman.
Right. Like that person needs you. And that's a lot
right.
of pressure as well.
Right.
And it feels icky and creepy and disgusting. Yeah, you want to get away from that energy as soon as possible.
However,
yeah.
Let's be honest. When people are attracted to someone and they're very excited and they have nervous energy about the possibility of meeting someone who they have high hopes for, I don't care how busy they are. I don't care how full their life is. I don't care how crazy it is. I don't care if they work two jobs scrubbing floors by night and waiting tables by afternoon and at an office in the morning and come home and raise four kids. They will move mountains to find massive blocks of time to spend with this new person they've met. So the truth of the matter is the woman who says, yeah, I'm going to kind of be off the grid for 3 days because I'm moving, she isn't that interested. He has
right,
not
exactly.
motivated her. But here's the other thing you have to remember, going back to the whole idea that men and women are actually more alike than different when it comes to advice and, I mean, and when it comes to dating and the advice we get, they're learning the same stuff we are. And guys, man, that goes completely over guys' heads. Like this is some completely other alien species who doesn't even think even remotely the way we do. Hey, check it out. If you've been taught not to look needy and jump at any guy, any woman who, you know, or jump at any woman who looks good to you, she's been taught the same thing. She's been taught to be a little aloof and not to be so overeager and to be so needy. So that could be her way of getting inside his head and saying, hey, look, you know what? I'm not really all that needy and clingy. I can deal without you for 3 days. And look at how well it works.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, I'll give you an exact story that'll really drive this home for every guy who's listening. This stuff about not being needy and clingy and not just like gushing over women works. It makes them like you more. It does work. And here's the proof. I know a guy who's an airline pilot, okay? Works mm-hmm. for one of the major American airlines, not American Airlines, but an airline in America. Flies wide-body airliners, like 767s. I mean, he's a guy who flies the big ones. He's a good airline pilot. Makes lots of money. This is the guy who, like, when there's a decompression or an engine blows, has to be the one who makes the decisions so that everybody doesn't die in midair. Okay? These have to be guys with good decision-making abilities. Well, he got online and had no idea how to write women. He was having no skill at all writing women. Well, he finally gets an attractive woman to write him back. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They emailed each other back and forth 4 times. By the time he got that 4th email from her, he was on the phone. He was on the phone with me, absolutely beside himself with anticipation to meet this incredible and beautiful princess of a woman who just must be absolutely perfect for him. I said, really? Okay, send me the string of emails you've been writing to each other. I promise I'm not making up what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
I will look you in the eye over this microphone and tell you it's the truth.
Okay.
The sum total of the number of words in all 4 emails combined that that woman had written him back, want to hazard a guess?
No, I don't. What?
11.
What?
11 words in 4 emails.
Really?
Sure. That'd be nice. Yes, let's. Call me then.
Yes, I've done that as well. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've done that as well to people.
He was absolutely so intrigued and mesmerized and dying to meet this woman. He was beside himself like a little kid in a candy store. This is a captain of a 767. For an airline.
Interesting.
11 words. Talk about how to intrigue people by not being needy or clingy and by not spewing your whole life story. There's an online dating lesson in there somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Even when I interact with other women, like when I first moved to Los Angeles, I didn't have a lot of friends, but I had met my, you know, husband back then, boyfriend at the time. And he was the first person who told me that I pounced on women and that, you know, cause for me, I didn't have a lot of friends. So I was over eager. When I met a girl, I was like, okay, you know, same thing that I advise my clients against and guys that I work with and same thing you do. I would pounce on her because I didn't have other options. But as I started to build my life and I started to control the pouncing and fill my life with other things, including other people, I stopped pouncing and I noticed that women and people were more attracted to me because I wouldn't write them back a whole long paragraph about how great a time I had the day before. And I wouldn't continuously text them over and over and over again. I would say, thank you, had a great day. Let's do it again in a couple of weeks. And that was it. Like 7 words total, probably. And then I would check in a couple of weeks, or they would check in with me. It's true. It's absolutely true what you're saying. When people have other things going on in their lives, or it's perceived that they do, they become more attractive.
That's right. You know, it's like the people who get promoted in business aren't the people who sit in meetings going, and, trying to assert their point every time somebody talks. They're the guys who are sitting back in the corner with their hands folded, and at the end of the meeting, someone finally looks at them and goes, you didn't say anything this whole meeting. What do you think? And they say 2 sentences that just level the whole room.
Yeah.
That guy becomes a CEO. Like,
oh, yes. 100%. Because he's the one who's sitting back and he doesn't need to be spitting out his words to, you know, demand attention because he's confident. I found the same thing in the way that I work with people too. Anybody who oversells himself and tells me how great they are rather than waiting for me to see how great they are, those are the people I do not want to work with because they are going to fail every single time.
God help me, I used to drive Audis, okay? Before I saw the light and started buying pickup trucks again. Audis, for a time there, had a bad rap. You know, they had this bad rap where if you, like, I'm talking like the late 80s.
Oh, wow.
Some lady in her garage put the thing in drive and it blew a hole through the back of her garage or some hearsay. Well, they almost completely lost the entire American market. Okay. And Audi's a German company and it's, you know, run by Germans and they do things the Teutonic way and they're very conservative. Well, around 86, they started making really nice cars. I mean, not, they used to be also ran cars compared to Beamers and Mercs, you know.
Right.
But they started making really nice cars around the time they came out with that 80, the A4. When they started putting A's in, you know, front of the numbers. Mm-hmm. And it was a good-looking car, and people wanted the car. The problem was that Audi didn't believe in the American market, because the American market was so depressed because of that bad press that they just really, really failed to believe Americans would buy their cars. But the A4 was really popular.
Okay.
Well, we decided we wanted one. And then they came up with one that had like a turbo engine in it and went really fast. It was like a little Audi BMW M3. And I just favored these cars. I favored the new Audis because I'm a car guy. Well, interestingly enough, I went to the car dealership and I dealt with a guy who was very laid back. He turned out to be the sales manager. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, what's your name?" "Well, my name's Scott McKay." "Oh, glad to meet you. My name's Tim. And how can I help you?" "Well, I'm interested in an S4. "Oh, very good. Yeah, those have a 6-month waiting list. But I can answer any question you want. You know, here's the way it's going to be.
Everybody wants this.
Yeah,
right.
Here's everything it's going to, you know, here's the way it's going to be. And, you know, we're getting full price for those cars. But, yeah, I'll float you $1,200 on it, you know, just because, you know, you're going to wait for it. Now, what color do you want? And this, that, and the other. If you don't want it, some other guy will, kind of thing." And he was laid back, you know, said, "Do you want a Diet Coke?" And talked shop. He knew everything about the cars. He was a car enthusiast. He goes, "Hey, while you're here, come see this. It's pretty cool." And he showed me a car I wasn't even interested in. You know, it was just something extra cool they had back there, like something old. And I ended up buying the car because
really?
I wanted the car.
I was willing
to wait for the car, damn it, right?
Right.
And, you know, long story short, the car came in early and, you know, everybody was really happy. Well, one time I was, I don't know, on a sales call or whatever, and I wandered into a Nissan dealership. And this was probably, well, this is back when I worked in sales, so this is probably circa 97, 98. And that's when they came out with those god-awful looking Frontier pickup trucks that just got hit with an ugly stick.
Right.
And as soon, and I went through the lot, through this like maze of 200 of those trucks. I must have had 4 sales guys literally attack me running every Zig Ziglar line,
really?
Your pen or mine. "What can I do to get you to buy this truck today?" And then them just looking dejected like little lost puppies who had lost their way back. They look like dogs who had fallen out of their owner's bed of their pickup truck on the highway, you know, at high speed when they found out I wasn't there to buy anything. Because their truck sucked. There was 200 of them on the lot and nobody wanted one.
Right.
Look at the attitude difference. If you're pushing, if you're me, if you're trying to impress, if you have to say the same word 6 times every time you start a sentence, louder and louder and louder and louder, that means you're not used to being heard. You're not used to anybody caring what you have to say.
Absolutely. I think that's a great parallel to end on. Because I love the message that it's saying. It's
yep.
Like, you know, anytime that you're overeager, and it does, it says needy, that nobody's paying attention to you. So you need people to pay attention to you in order to feel great.
And people will continue not to.
Yeah, exactly. Because on my end as a woman, it's not that I'm consciously thinking, "Oh, that guy's needy. Oh, he's overeager." All I'm feeling is this thing in the pit of my stomach that feels really uncomfortable and awkward, where somebody is, it's like they're attacking me and they like me so much already. So it just feels uncomfortable, and it's something I want to get really far away from. That's how it feels.
Yeah, that's another thing I think guys don't understand, especially when they immerse themselves in dating art and science so much, is the garden variety person out there has no idea why they're attracted or unattracted. They can't put a finger on it. They just know either you're in the just be friend zone, they're creeped out by you, or they really would like tear your pants off.
Right.
They don't. Women can't explain this. It's just like, "Oh, there's something about that guy," either positively or negatively.
Mm-hmm.
But it is explicable. It's always logical. There is something
Absolutely.
Going on there, whether they know it or not, whether they can describe it or not.
Absolutely.
But that's where you and I come in, right?
Exactly. That's why we still have jobs, so it's good. So tell people, or actually, I guess I'm going to have a link or a couple of links, because you've mentioned a couple of different free items that you want to nicely give away to people. But I'll get those from you. But what are the two pieces that you had said? It's one was how to use Twitter, And yeah, then right. What was the other piece?
Well, I guess they could go listen to the Chick Whisper podcast, which is wildly popular, and you've been on before as a guest.
Yes.
Great show.
Yeah.
I guess the link you're going to give them is for Online Dating Domination 2.0, since we're talking about online dating. I just revamped everything. Because, you know, you said at the beginning, really, if you get right down to it, I'm a dumbass. Because here I've been doing this for 6 years, and what I am absolutely best at, where I unquestionably had the most success, you know, meeting women, including my own wife, was online dating. And I hardly ever even talk about it. I'm so enraptured by talking about all these other things that I've let my online dating program go a couple of years without an update. And of course, online dating is very dynamic, the whole way it's
and
done.
It's very different now as well, I'm sure, from 6 years ago when you were online. Okay, so yeah, I'll definitely have a link to that below and to all the other free resources. But
well, it's coming out. Yeah.
Thank you for doing it. Oh, yeah, let me know when it comes out then, because then I'll definitely do that. But thank you for sharing. You like gave a lot of information, which I really appreciate. And I know that a lot of guys will be able to instantly use the material and the information that you've shared with me today. So thank you.
You're quite welcome. You know, I think when it comes to online dating, guys need things they can use right now to give them some success. And, you know, in Online Dating Domination 2.0, I've got a quick reference cheat sheet. Okay, I call it the fast track list. And if you take 2 hours and do the over 100 quick things, objective things on that list, you will start getting online dating results. And I think that kind of pragmatism is really called for in online dating. So I appreciate this talk too. And it's my pleasure to give guys, you know, just some real practical advice that they can go out there and start using to meet women. Because, you know, most of us are good guys. But if we don't know the online dating ropes, it's hard for us to get anywhere because there really are right ways and wrong ways to do things online, no doubt.
Absolutely. That was a perfect ending note. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was really good.